Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in 1 Samuel chapter 29, verses 1 through 11. A very short chapter and also an easy chapter, so this is going to be a short audio. Our context is this. The Philistines have gathered together to fight the Israelites up in the Valley of Jezreel. The Israelites are camped around Jezreel, which is on the southern edge of that valley as you're going from northwest to southeast, heading toward Bethshan, which is in the Jordan River Valley. And if you go north of Jezreel, about 6 or 7 miles or so, you will see Endor. And there was a witch there, and Saul had just gone there asking for advice about what's going to happen at this battle. And the witch called up someone or something that called himself Samuel, either Samuel himself, which I don't think, or a demon imitating Samuel. And so this is our context. It's going to be a big battle between the Philistines and Saul, and Saul's going to lose big time. So we start now in 1 Samuel 29, verses 1 through 2. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, while the Israelites were camping by the spring, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines were proceeding on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were proceeding on in the rear with Achish. I should mention in our context, two chapters previous, David had gotten tired of running around from Saul in the wilderness southeast of Hebron, so he went back to Achish, where he had once been before, looking for asylum, and he had to pretend insanity because the political situation got such there that the lords of the courtiers, I shall say, the governmental ministers of Achish decided, this guy's not trustworthy, we need to get rid of him. And so David had fled, but now he's gone back. He's acted sane, and he's, for a year and 4 months, has been loyal to Achish. Now he's gone out and killed some people who may or may not have been friends of Achish, but were definitely enemies of Israel. They were probably allied with Achish, but he's kept it secret by killing all the people in the towns that he conquered, and so there was nobody left to bring the word to Achish at Gath, by the way. The town Achish was head of was Gath. And so Achish didn't know that David was disloyal to him. He thought he was loyal. Now, in verse 1, it says the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek. Now, Aphek has not been discovered on BibleAtlas.org's map. They've got it way up the northwestern end of the Valley of Jezreel, about halfway between Acher and Carmel, inland a little bit, but it's got a question mark by it. So nobody knows exactly where this Aphek is, but it's somewhere in the valley, I'm sure. Now let's see what BibleAtlas.org says. Aphek must be sought in the plain of Esdraelon. That's the Jezreel Valley, plain of Esdraelon, same place. No place answering this description has been found here. There's a place at Mount Gilboa that's not possible, so they don't really know. And Jameson Foster Brown says, a person who compares the Bible account of Saul's last battle with the Philistines, with the region around Gilboa, has the same sort of evidence that the account relates what is true that a person would have that such a battle as Waterloo really took place. Gilboa, Jezreel, Shunem, Endor are all found, still bearing the same names. This is in the 1800s. I assume it's still there today, too. They lie within sight of each other. Aphek is the only one of the cluster not yet identified. Well, as I just told you, where Jezreel was, near the spring of Harod, where Gideon had his famous battle. Shunem is mentioned in the previous chapter, in verse 4, chapter 28, where the Philistines had first gathered. And, of course, Endor is on the map there. I've already mentioned that. That's about 5 miles northeast of Shunem, about 7 miles or so northeast of Jezreel. So everything's there. Now, the Israelites were camped by the spring, which is in Jezreel. That makes sense. Armies need water. And David, meanwhile, as the Philistines are gathering together at their point of attack, David and his men were proceeding on in the rear with Achish. Now, David really is in a terrible predicament here. He could sin against Israel and sin against God by fighting Israel, or he could sin against Achish's hospitality by betraying him. Now, betraying somebody in the East is a terrible thing in Eastern cultures. He would have been disgraced in the eyes of everybody, Adam Clark says. So what's David to do? Well, he's marching along in the rear of the Philistine army. He's waiting, not knowing how, for God to providentially deliver him, which is in fact what happened. That could be one option as to what he's thinking, or it could be he is thinking, definitely, I am not going to fight against Israel. I will just protect Achish as a bodyguard. I'll keep Saul's troops from killing Achish, but I'm not going to fight against Israel. So he would kind of split the difference. So he could say, well, I didn't fight my fellow Israelites, but at least I saved Achish from getting killed. That's a risky strategy, suggested by John Gill and Jameson Fawcett and Brown. Jameson Fawcett and Brown say this, quote, "It must be considered a happy circumstance in the overruling providence of God to rescue David out of the dangerous dilemma in which he was now placed. But David is not free from censure in his professions to Achish, to do what he probably had not the smallest purpose of doing, of fighting with Achish against his enemies. It is just an instance of the unhappy consequences into which a false step, a departure from the straight course of duty, will betray everyone who commits it." That's Jameson Fawcett and Brown's learned comment on this, and I am amazed how easily people sitting in armchairs in their study can censure David. What would you have done if you were in David's place? Saul was trying to kill him. Saul had gone in down there in the wilderness of Ziph and tried to nail him several times. David had no choice. He was trying to stay alive. And so lying to Achish was a stratagem of war, and you're not going to condemn anybody for that. At least I'm not. Now, they are Christian theologians and commentators like Jameson Fawcett and Brown, who love to jump on David. Oh, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have lied to Achish. I don't agree with that. We go down to 1 Samuel 29, verses 3 through 5. Then the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, who has been with me these days, or rather these years, and I have found no fault in him from the day he deserted to me to this day?" But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him, and the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Make the man go back, that he may return to his place where you have assigned him, and do not let him go down to battle with us, or in the battle he may become an adversary to us. For with what could this man make himself acceptable to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sing in the dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s?'" Well, let's unpack this a little bit. The commanders, the military commanders, very reasonably say, "Hey, these Hebrews, they could turn on us in the battle." Achish defends by saying, "Look, he's been with me days, or rather years. Actually, it was a year and 4 months on the last visit that he was with Achish." Jameson Fawcett Brown says this, quote, "He, David, had now been with the Philistines a full year and 4 months, and also some years before. It has been thought that David kept up a private correspondence with this Philistine prince, either on account of his native generosity, or in the anticipation that an asylum in his territories would sooner or later be needed." That's interesting speculation. We read in 1 Samuel 27:7, this, "The time that David stayed in the Philistine territory amounted to a year and 4 months." So you got that year and 4 months that David has pleased Achish. Of course, Achish is not knowing what David's doing on the side, knocking up some of his allies. But Achish didn't know that, and Jameson Fawcett and Brown also mentioned that some years before David had been friendly to Achish. That was the first trip into Gath when Saul was fleeing from Nob, before Saul went up there and murdered those 85 priests. So Achish has had a lot of good interaction with David, and he thinks he's loyal. So he says, "Hey, I found no fault in him." Now let's look at this strategy that David used in the previous chapter of secretly venturing out from Ziklag, which is way to the south of Gath, and knocking off tribes which seem to be allied, or at least arguably could be allied, with Achish of Gath. Adam Clark says this, "It is strange that they," the Philistines, "had not yet heard of David's destruction of a village of the Geshurites, Gerzites, and Amalekites." Those are the three places he knocked off. Had they heard of this, they would have seen much more cause for suspicion. Well, they didn't hear of it, and probably because David killed all the inhabitants, he did that. It says explicitly he did that so that people would not come back, survivors of the assault would not come back to Gath and tell Achish what had happened. Now, there's another option. It could be that Gasher knew that David had been attacking those three places, the Geshurites, the people from Gezer, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites. Achish could have known it, but the Geshurites, the people from Gezer, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites were actually enemies of Achish, and so David was not doing anything on the sly. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that those were probably allied with the Philistines, or they were at least enemies of Israel, and the reason that Achish didn't know is because David had killed all the survivors of the places that he had attacked. So Achish is being remarkably naive here. His Philistine commanders actually were right and correct that David was a traitor. And they got angry at Achish and said, look, make him go back. We'll compromise here. We won't arrest him. We won't accuse him. Just send him back. So that he may return to his place. That would be Ziklag, way down to the southwest. Do not let him go down to battle with us, or he may become an adversary to us. Now the Philistine commanders were especially vulnerable to David. David could attack them in the rear while they were fighting the Israelites. So it seems to me they had a very reasonable complaint. They were in a vulnerable position, and also David needed to get Saul's favor back, and what a great way to do it, knock off some Philistines. The commanders say, for with what could this man make himself acceptable to his lord? That means his lord Saul, his former lord, really, but that's what they're talking about, his lord Saul. Would it not be with the heads of these men, in other words, these Philistines around here? Perfect way to get back with Saul, and that's too risky for us. And then in verse 5, they finish their case with Achish and saying, is this not David of whom they sing in the dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Of course, the 10,000s that David has slain were, of course, Philistines. Those are the women were singing that after David had come back from knocking off a bunch of Philistines. And so they weren't happy about that. The Philistine commanders are referring to what we read about in 1 Samuel 18:7, the women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. So the word had gotten out. We go down to 1 Samuel 29:6-11, and we'll finish up this short audio. Then Achish called David and said to him, as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and your going out and your coming in with me in the army are pleasing in my sight, for I have not found evil in you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, you are not pleasing in the sight of the Lord. I think I'll take this verse by verse here. First of all, Achish says, as the Lord lives. That's a Hebrew oath over and over and over again. As the Lord lives. That's the most common oath that Hebrews ever took. Now here we have a pagan, Achish, swearing by the true God, by Yahweh. He was probably doing this for David's benefit. Achish knew that David believed in God, and so he just sort of accommodated him. Achish sort of accommodated David and said, hey, as Yahweh lives. David would therefore be more likely to listen to Achish. I think that makes sense. So maybe David's rubbing off on him a little bit, teaching him about the ways of the Lord. Some people speculate that. And Achish says, David, I have not found evil in you. Well, that's being a little bit naive here. So he's trying to soften the blow a little bit. He says, look, I don't see anything wrong with you, David, but the Lord's, my military commanders aren't happy, so you got to go away. You got to go back. And of course, that's exactly what David needed to hear. God acting providentially. But David replies, instead of saying, hot dog, Achish, thank you so much, I'm out of here. Instead, he says, what have I done? Why are you doing this? What have you found in your servant this day? Well, why did he do that? Why did he act so aggrieved? After all, he wanted to get out of the battle. It seems like he would have been happy. Well, the answer to that is he had to act like he was offended so the Philistines would still think he was loyal. So verse 8, David said to Achish, what have I done? What have you found in your servant from the day when I came before you to this day that I may not go out and fight against the enemies of my lord the king? Of course, when David says my lord the king, he's talking about Achish. Verse 9, but Achish replied to David, I know that you are pleasing in my sight like an angel of God. Angel of God? That's Hebrew talk. Messenger of God? Here's what Adam Clark says. There is some reason to think that Achish had actually embraced or was favorably disposed towards the Jewish religion. He speaks here of the angels of God as a Jew might be expected to speak. And in 1 Samuel 29:6, which is where we are, he appeals to and swears by Jehovah, by Yahweh, which perhaps no Philistine ever did. It is possible that he might have learned many important truths from David during the time he sojourned with him. You know why I doubt that is because the more David tries to talk about the Hebrew religion to Achish, the more Achish is going to be suspicious that David has still got his roots over there in Israel, which might blow David's cover. So I think that's a speculation I don't really buy. However, Achish might be using Hebrew terminology just like when I talk to Chinese people. I don't say the week after next, I say next week, because I got so used to hearing them screw up the English that I said, well, you know, that's a quicker way to say it. I'm going to say next week. But I don't say that to my American friends, because they don't know what I'm talking about. All right, so the commanders of the Philistines have said, David, you need to get out. The commanders were probably the heads of the other four leading Philistine cities. Gath was one, that was Achish, but Achish got outvoted 4-1, if I'm right about this. The other four leading Philistine cities, of course, were Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, and Ekron. Now, Achish tells David in verse 10, "Now, then arise early in the morning with the servants of your Lord who have come with you." In other words, leave early. Why? To get rid of the dissension as soon as possible. They're getting ready for a battle. They don't want to have everybody upset, all the army commanders upset. So Achish says, "David, please leave quick, early in the morning, with the servants of your Lord." The servants will be referring to David's 600 men that he had with him all the time. "With the servants of your Lord who have come with you." Now, who is servants of your Lord? Who is that? Well, it could be Saul, the servants of Saul, your Lord Saul, who have come with you. Your ex-Lord is what he would mean. I don't think that's the right answer. I think that Achish is referring to himself when he says the servants of your Lord. In other words, David, you've been my servant, my vassal, and your 600 troops have been my servants too. So, verse 10, "Now then, arise early in the morning," Achish says, "with the servants of your Lord, with your servants and my servants, the 600 men who have come with you, and as soon as you have arisen early in the morning and have light, depart." So David arose early, he and his men, to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And of course, that would be Ziklag, way down in the Philistine plain there in the southwest. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. And just as a reminder, Jezreel is on the southern edge of the Esdraelon Valley, the Valley of Jezreel. Jezreel is the place name, but it's also called the Valley of Jezreel. So they were at Aphek, and they went to Jezreel. In fact, one time they're said to be at Shunem, Aphek, and Jezreel. They're moving the men around. Jezreel is maybe 8 miles to the northwest of Mount Gabor, where Saul eventually gets killed. And it's about 9 or 10, maybe 10 miles to the northwest of Bethshan, where Saul and Jonathan's bodies were nailed on the wall. But that's all for a later chapter. We have now finished this chapter, and we're prepared now to go into chapter 30, and we will leave the scene of battle up here in the Jezreel Valley, and we will focus our attention on David as he retreats back to Ziklag and gets his wives captured. So I hope to see you in the next chapter, and I hope you enjoyed this one.